That's the Kantarai of Concordia Theological Seminary singing the Advent hymn, an ancient hymn, O Come Emmanuel. And we're going to discuss the season of Advent in this hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. And you'll be hearing a little bit more of the church's Advent music as we discuss this great and first season of the church year. You know, the world is already celebrating Christmas. As soon as Thanksgiving turkey grows cold in the refrigerator, the whole world breaks out Christmas. The decorations, the shopping, the anticipation, the music, you name it. Christmas is in the air. But strictly speaking, Christmas isn't here yet, and strictly speaking, the church is not celebrating Christmas yet. Throughout the history of the church has waited till Christmas to celebrate the season of Christmas. But before, in those weeks leading up to it, they have not left those things unaddressed. There's a season called Advent. We'll find out what that means with my guest, Pastor Richard Stuckwish, pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. If you've got a question about the coming of Christmas and the season of Advent, our phone number 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Stuckwish, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
Before we talk about Advent, let's set it in the larger context of the church calendar. The church's new year literally began today, well, the first Sunday of the new year, the season of Advent. What is the church calendar?
Well, the church calendar is a way of marking time, in some ways not so different from the calendars we use to mark our daily life. But the church's calendar developed directly out of the church's experience of God's Word, I guess is the best way to put it, as the church made a habit, a discipline, a practice of reading God's Word and meditating on God's Word, especially the Holy Gospels, and as they remembered and celebrated the saving events of our Savior Christ Jesus over the course of the year and from one year to the next, various patterns developed, which in many ways are built into the kind of creatures that we are, the way God created us and the way that he created the world and the universe. God himself established categories of time and differences of day and night and weeks and seasons and years. And so in many ways it's very natural that the church should also use those very same things to help it remember her Lord and to give thanks for the Holy Gospel. The way the calendar developed really began with the church's yearly celebration of Easter and preparations for Easter, and gradually that took on a structure. Most Christians would be familiar with the season of Lent, which leads up to the celebration of Easter every year. In a similar way, there were various things that developed around the celebration of Christmas, and especially Epiphany, which was actually earlier than Christmas. That's early in January. And somewhat coincidentally, but not entirely, a season developed prior to Christmas, a season of repentance, a season of waiting and expectation. And that's the season that we're mainly going to talk about tonight, the season of Advent. Once those big things, Lent and Easter on the one hand and Advent and Christmas on the other hand, once those things were in place, other patterns developed over the course of the year. And basically what the calendar does, Todd, is simply lead the church through the Gospels year after year after year so that our worship as Christians follows a regular pattern, a regular course through the life of our Lord, so that the Word of God and that which our Lord has done for us really set the pace and guide us from one day to the next, one week to the next, one year to the next.
So if one follows the course of the church here, one follows the life of Christ according to the Gospel?
Well, in many ways, yes, exactly so. Broadly speaking, the church year really kind of divides into two parts. The first part goes from Advent and Christmas through Easter and up until the ascension of our Lord and then the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And for the most part, that first half of the year tends to follow roughly speaking, the movement of our Lord from his birth up until his death and his resurrection and his return to heaven and the sending of the Holy Spirit. It's not exactly chronological, but generally speaking, it follows that pattern. And then after Pentecost, the church kind of goes back through various miracles and teachings and parables of our Lord from his ministry on earth, which help to focus on the life that we as Christians and that the church together live in Christ Jesus. And we draw that life from the life that he has lived for us and the words that he has spoken to us. So after Pentecost, it's not exactly a chronological movement, although the church does tend to read through the Gospels in a somewhat chronological pattern. But the first half of the year follows our Lord from Bethlehem to Calvary and then to the resurrection and the ascension. And then the second half of the year kind of goes back and listens very carefully to what Jesus had to say to us and the things that he did to instruct us in our Christian faith and life.
I'm thinking about two people who are listening to us, one of whom has never heard of any of this stuff about the church calendar before. It's all new to them. And another maybe is a former Roman Catholic, and they've left Roman Catholicism, and they said, look, I left all that stuff behind. But to both those people, this all sounds like a bunch of Catholic stuff, Roman Catholic stuff. Is it?
Well, I suppose in a sense you could say it is, but I hope most of us would be willing to agree that not everything the Roman Catholic Church does is wrong. While we may disagree with many of their teachings and practices, nevertheless, they still use the Word of God, which we would applaud. They still administer the sacraments of Christ, which we would applaud. They still have Christian people who listen to God's Word and pastors who serve the people of God. So, first of all, we'd say not everything the Roman Catholic Church does is therefore wrong. But I think more accurately we would say that the church calendar and the church's pattern of reading through the Gospels and other parts of Scripture too is certainly not unique to Roman Catholics. It really goes back to the earliest centuries of the church. And in a sense, it goes back to the way in which the New Testament scriptures were written to be read in the church, to be read to the congregation assembled in the name of Jesus to hear his word and to receive his gifts. And so really the intention of the Word of God from the beginning was that it be read to the people of God in the church. And if you read through the Gospels in an orderly fashion, which is in keeping with what the Apostle says, that all things should be done decently and in order, if you do that on a regular basis, then these very sort of patterns are going to emerge, and that's exactly what happened. But the fact remains that already within the first 2 and 3 centuries of the church's life on earth, Christians were gravitating toward these patterns. They were remembering every year that our Lord rose from the dead, and they knew basically when that happened. And it's certainly part of our human nature in a good sense, I think, that we like to remember events that have had importance for us, and we like to mark them on our calendars and observe them. It's simply part of the way that God has made us and the way that he has made the world and the universe, so that time is one of God's gifts. And if time can help us to remember and to celebrate what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, then thanks be to God for that gift.
For churches and people who do not observe the church calendar, what are they missing?
Well, I think there's lots of things that can end up missing. I guess I prefer to talk in terms of the benefits, but if you're not following the church's calendar, you're going to follow some sort of calendar. And then the question becomes, what is it that's guiding you if it's not the church's calendar? Is it the world's calendar? Is it somebody's personal idiosyncrasies or their personal agendas? I mean, it's so easy, even for the most well-meaning and best-intentioned person, to fall into their own little niche. And what can happen then is that some very important things get lost along the way. By following the church's calendar, which is a calendar that really goes back to our earliest forefathers in Christ. We allow ourselves to benefit from the wisdom of hundreds and thousands and even millions of Christians who have gone before us in a way that takes us methodically and carefully through the Word of God so that nothing is missed. From year after year after year, we're taken through the Word of God. We're taken through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't allow ourselves to fall prey to even our own axe to grind or to the influences of the world, which maybe would take us in a different direction than God's Word would want to take us.
Think about it, folks. Just think about it. If your church doesn't celebrate the church calendar, what days and festivals do you celebrate? Mother's Day, 4th of July, Father's Day, Super Bowl Sunday? Do those things focus you on Christ and on what He has done for you? Do they get you reading Scripture so that you are fully acquainted with the Savior who gave His life on the cross for you? This is one of the purposes, the basic purpose of the church observing a calendar. When we come back, we're going to talk about the first of seasons beginning with Advent. That'll be our topic when we come back.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Transcendent, authentic, reverent. Is this what you're looking for in Christian worship? Are you looking for a creedal, historical, liturgical church? A church that doesn't separate itself from 2,000 years of Christianity without the works righteousness of Roman Catholicism? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to visit a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation this week. For more information, call 1-800-737-0172 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
That's the St. Paul Lutheran Children's Choir in Fort Wayne, Indiana, singing The Advent of Our God, another one of the great Advent hymns being sung in the church as the season of Advent begins. The season of Advent is our topic of discussion during this hour of Issues Etc. Next week on the show, we're going to discuss biblical prophecy with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn. What's the ultimate purpose of prophecy in both the Old and the New Testaments? By emphasizing certain events like the rapture, do Christians often overlook Christ's ultimate role in prophecy? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing each week on our program for the entire month of December, you can visit our website. It's issuesetc.org. There you'll find a list of topics and guests for the weeks ahead. While you're there, you can read, well, we've got a number of articles on the season of Advent there at the website, including some family devotions for Advent. The website address again, issuesetc.org. Our phone number, if you've got a question or comment as we talk about the season of Advent with Pastor Richard Stuckwish, pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Does the church have to observe the church calendar?
No, I'm glad you asked that, Todd, because that was something I wanted to comment on. The church year is one of the many things that we receive as a gift, and it's a gift to be used in freedom and the freedom of the gospel and in faith. it's not a law that's been given to us. It wasn't handed down from Mount Sinai, so to speak. It developed naturally in the course of the church's life. It really grows out of the Gospels themselves, especially. But it's a tool, and it's something that can be used in a very beneficial way, in a salutary way for the life of the church. But it's a gospel thing, not a law thing. It gives us an opportunity to hear and receive the Word of God and the saving life of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that is commanded that we must do, and that really is a very important distinction.
So we turn our attention to the season of Advent that comes before Christmas, and I suspect in some ways it's related to Christmas, but it also has several other emphases that we need to talk about. What does the word Advent mean?
Well, the word Advent comes from the Latin, and it basically means the coming. And, of course, we're especially concerned with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the word refers to, and that's what it means.
Okay, so which coming are we talking about here? Because I guess its association with Christmas would say it's a preparation to remember the first coming of Christ.
Well, that's what most people logically assume, and certainly part of the development of this season was connected to the celebration of Christmas. In different parts of the world, different parts of the church, that was even the main emphasis. But really the oldest origins of Advent had a different purpose and a different focus. And in the present day, there are really three comings of our Lord Jesus Christ that we focus on in the season of Advent. One of those is a remembering of his coming at that first Christmas. That's perhaps the third of the three comings that we give attention to. The first would be the way in which our Lord Jesus comes to us in the present. And we receive him as he comes to us in the present, especially through his word as it is preached to us, and in his holy sacraments, in holy baptism, and especially with his body and blood in the Holy Communion. It's through that word and through those holy sacraments that the same Lord Jesus who was conceived and born of the Blessed Virgin Mary continues to come to his church, continues to come to us for the same purpose and for the same reason. To forgive our sins and to save us by the salvation of his cross. So that's really the first focus of Advent, in my opinion. The second focus is the fact that that same Lord Jesus who comes to us here and now, who came at Bethlehem all those years ago, is going to come again to judge the living and the dead. And we look forward to that coming. We don't dread it, we don't fear it, but we look forward to it. We anticipate it with joy and with confidence because, as Jesus himself says in the Gospel of St. Luke, our redemption is drawing near. The Lord will come to call us out of this veil of tears to himself in heaven. And so in Advent, we remember his coming at Christmas, that first Christmas so long ago. We receive him as he comes to us in the present through his word and sacraments. And we rejoice in the hope of his coming again when he will call his church to be with him in heaven forever. Those are the three comings of our Lord Jesus Christ that Advent is really all about.
So Advent is a season that is, I guess theologically speaking, rooted in the history of Christ's first coming.
Uh-huh.
It is celebrated in the present with Christ's present coming among us through word and sacrament,
mm-hmm.
and it also anticipates the future, his second coming.
Absolutely, that's exactly right, and it's for those reasons that really Advent is one of my personal favorite times of the year, in spite of the fact that we really have to buck the world around us to observe it. But really, in those three things, our Lord's coming in the flesh when he was born on that first Christmas, and our Lord's coming to us now through his word and sacrament, and the fact that he will come again to call his church to himself in heaven, those are not unique to the season of Advent. That's really what it's all about. And so Advent sets the tone for the whole church year, the whole church calendar, but more than that, for the whole Christian life. Everything is centered in Christ Jesus, the past, the present, and the future. And Advent really brings all of those things together for us, and it's really very edifying.
This is really true of all the seasons of the church here, the ones we discussed in the segment before, that they are all in their own way like a microcosm of the church's whole existence between Christ's ascension and his second coming, aren't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The whole church year is very Christ-centered. It's very Christ-centered. It all grows right out of his Gospels, his life, his words, his deeds, his cross and resurrection, his birth. That's what it's all about. The church calendar is really just a way of taking the life of Christ and painting it like a mosaic over the calendar, over the year. It's a way of focusing on all the individual aspects and parts of his life. Because if we try to take it all at once, of course it's beautiful, but it's kind of overwhelming. And you look at each part individually the way a jeweler might examine a fine diamond, and you are able to appreciate all of the particulars. And some of those, of course, rise up above the others, like Christmas and Easter and so forth. But there's so much there that we couldn't possibly take it all in at once. The church calendar helps us to make our way through the whole thing on a yearly basis.
And I'll tell you what, folks, as one who has had the benefits of a church that has observed the church calendar throughout my life as a Christian, it takes a lifetime. You can't be done in a year. It takes Advent after Advent and Christmas after Christmas. And as the cycle continues each year, you are joyful every time you come to that new threshold, especially in the season of Advent. I had a supervising pastor some time back who got in trouble with his congregation because he wouldn't play Christmas hymns in the weeks leading up to Christmas. When they were in the shopping center hearing all the Christmas jingle bell hymns, this fella said, "I want to have some of those Christmas hymns in the church." The pastor said, "No, it's not Christmas yet." If you've got a question or comment about the season of Advent, you can call us during this break, 1-800-730-2727.
Uwe Simonetto, religion editor for United Press International, on the uniqueness of issues, etc.
I want to know how a Christian is to lead a useful life in this demented world. Sacraments with Jesus talk is not enough. Issues, etc. is the only radio program I know that gives me intelligent theological answers. It balances law and gospel beautifully. It tells me that God calls us even into this perplexing era. It is a program for thinking believers.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172.
You're listening to Issues, Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Why did the real St. Nicholas give out gifts? Who was Nicholas? When and where did he live? And why does the real story of the real St. Nicholas tell us more about Christ than about Kris Kringle? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is the children's book, St. Nicholas, The Real Story of the Christmas Legend. In this book, the real story of St. Nicholas is beautifully illustrated and simply told. You can order our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, St. Nicholas, by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, St. Nicholas, The Real Story of the Christmas Legend by Julie Stiegelmeier.
Now this Global Minute lets you hear a unique way to celebrate this Christmas season. Mark on a Christmas calendar the names of people groups who have never heard about Christ's birth. A large number of those people live in the country of Indonesia. The ministry Christ for the Lost World reprinted a map showing the clusters of unreached people who live on the many different islands that make up Indonesia. They include two ethnic groups like the Lambung and the Minangkabau. Christ for the Lost World strategy is to train and support local pastors and Christians in Indonesia. They know the culture and can develop their churches to become locally led and self-supporting. But the Christians working in the ministry need prayer to overcome many of the spiritual barriers which prevent people from listening to news about Christ. This holiday season, learn about praying for unreached people by logging on to missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. We are tempted in these last days before Christmas to resent our circumstances. The rushing to get things done, the straining of the budget, personality clashes, perhaps a loved one sick. We easily resent these intrusions upon the peaceful spirit of Christmas. We'd much rather have the circumstances of angels flitting about, singing carols, not a care in the world. That would be much better than our present circumstances. Joseph had been emotionally upset. His bride-to-be was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. The big impersonal government forced them on a long trip to Bethlehem. Pregnancy isn't easy, and there's nothing in the Bible saying Mary rode a donkey. The feelings you have battling the crowds are probably not unlike the feelings Joseph and Mary had. You need a last-minute gift. They needed a place to stay and to have that baby. These aren't the circumstances of angels, but of humans. That's the way it is. And that's why Christmas is. It is sinful to resent our circumstances. If things were just as we desire, the coming of God would be another nice ornament in a life that needs no salvation. The Savior didn't come for the angels, but for us. Just the way we are.
These days it seems that a lot of Christians like to write about and talk about the end of the world, the second coming of Jesus Christ. That'll be in our minds as we consider Luke 21 next time on our Bible study program when we talk about it with Pastor John Lukomsky. We invite you to listen to our program, The Bible Study. It comes your way weekday mornings at 10:05.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts. Serving God's people.
Comfort, comfort these my people. Speak of peace, so says our God. Comfort these who sit in darkness, groaning under sin's red rod. To my people I proclaim, pardon now in Jesus' name. Tell them that their sins I cover, that their warfare now is over.
It's a Concordia Seminary chorus singing the Advent hymn, Comfort, Comfort These My People, another of the great Advent hymns that we're using as, we're using them to emphasize this season that began this Sunday, the season of Advent, and our discussion of the entire church year. Folks, the benefits of the church calendar may not be readily apparent to someone who's never heard of it before or who thinks it's merely a Roman Catholic thing. That's why we do shows like this. Nowhere else on Christian radio will you find someone who's going to tell you about the benefits of Advent. Of reading through the calendar of the church year and finding in that Christ. During last year, we have done numerous shows on the church calendar and hymn studies for the appropriate church seasons like Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, All Saints Day, Reformation Day, and several other church festivals. This is, as I said, somewhat unique programming for Issues Etc. You have to look long and hard to find other shows that are talking about Advent this time of the year. If you've enjoyed these discussions, if you've learned something about the church festivals and the church calendar through these seasonal hymn studies, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to Issues Etc. You can do it either by check, through the mail, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can order by credit card. I'm sorry, you can give your donation by credit card by calling 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. 877-737-0172. I want to remind you that we're going to spend more than $120,000 on satellite and airtime this year. The gospel is free, but airtime isn't. We thank you for your prayerful consideration. We thank you for your support in advance. My guest is Pastor Richard Stuckwish. We're talking about the season of Advent. If you've got a question or a comment about the season of Advent or about the observation of the church calendar, you can give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Stuckwish,
yes.
I mentioned before the break that I had a supervising pastor once who got in a little trouble with some members of his congregation because he rather good-naturedly refused to sing Christmas hymns in the weeks leading up to Christmas. He said it isn't Christmas yet. What do you think?
Well, I'd have to agree with your supervising pastor, and it's a shame that people don't necessarily understand a pastor's reasoning. This story that you tell is not so uncommon, but it really, I guess it goes to show how much at odds the church is with the world at this time of the year, I think more so than any other time of the year. The world more or less leaves the church alone during Lent, I think mainly because the world doesn't really have anything else going on to compete with it. But Advent is tough because the world really is chomping at the bit for the Christmas season. You mentioned how that happens after Thanksgiving, but in my lifetime, I think it's gotten earlier and earlier every year, so that there's signs of Christmas already in October. And the church, I guess, maybe seems kind of stubborn in not wanting to jump ahead to Christmas, but there's a reason for not doing so.
What is that? What is the advantage of, say, bucking the world's trend toward front-loading Christmas into Advent?
Well, I think we see it in Scripture itself and in God's own design of how he gives the Savior to the world. He prepares the world to receive that Savior in lots of ways. In a very broad respect, we look at the fact that before there was the New Testament, there was the Old Testament. And that's just a very broad and general comment, but there were thousands of years in which God prepared the world and his people for the coming of the Savior in the first place. More specifically, and really getting down to the nitty-gritty of what Advent is all about, when Christ was born and when Christ began his ministry, going ahead of him was St. John the Baptizer. And the purpose of St. John the Baptizer was to prepare the way for the Lord. And there were even prophecies in the Old Testament that said, one is going to go before his face to prepare his way. It was part of God's design that it should be so. He didn't send the Savior first, but he sent St. John the Baptizer first to prepare the way. And St. John did that through preaching and through baptism. And he preached especially the word of repentance, calling people to repentance and to faith in this one who was coming. And the season of Advent does that same thing. We are prepared to remember that first Christmas. We are prepared for the Lord who comes to us now, and we are prepared for the Lord who will come again to judge the living and the dead by the preaching of repentance, by the Word of God.
I noticed in the church I attended this morning, the words of John the Baptist, the appearance of John the Baptist, was mentioned, and I noticed in preparation for my own preaching next week that the gospel reading is again from the early section of one of the gospels talking about the message and the activity of John the Baptist. Why such an emphasis on him during Advent? Is it simply because he is a preparer?
Yes, exactly so. And I think as we hear the preaching of St. John and we hear the ministry of St. John described from the Holy Gospels, we need to hear that word of God as addressed to us. It's not just learning about what St. John had to say to people back then. It's hearing what God says to us through St. John right now, that we also are called to repentance, that we also are shown our sins and our need for our Savior and are called to repentance and to faith. And this is the way in which God prepares us to receive his Son.
Somebody's going to say, but you just spent the first part of your conversation saying that the church calendar points us toward Jesus, and now you're saying the first couple of weeks of Advent, the gospel readings focus on John.
Well, it's a both end kind of deal. We don't hear about St. John the Baptizer because our concern is with him for his own sake, but St. John is one of the many and various ways in which God speaks to us concerning his Son. And if you look at the preaching of St. John the Baptizer, he could hardly be more Christ-centered. His whole purpose in life is to point to Christ and prepare for Christ. And he said those beautiful words in the Gospel of St. John, the evangelist St. John, he must increase, I must decrease. So we hear about John and we hear the word of John basically leading us directly to Christ. It isn't in competition with Christ. It's just one of the many ways in which God's Word brings us to Jesus and points us to Jesus.
Why do you think the modern church, especially the American church, has such a hard time being countercultural and bucking that trend of the world to start Christmas early and ignore Advent?
Oh, well, I think there's so many reasons. I think at the heart of it all is the fact that, frankly, repentance isn't much fun. Repentance puts to death who we are as sinful human beings. It crucifies our old Adam. It drowns us, which is kind of what baptism is all about, drowning the old Adam, putting the old Adam to death. That's what repentance does, the first part of repentance anyway. And frankly, like I said, it's just not much fun. Whereas, you know, the world offers this whole smorgasbord of fun things this time of year. There's shopping to do, and there's fancy clothes, and there's parties, and there's baking and eating, and, you know, lots of fun things that really, you know, and they're fine in their own place. I think as Christians we can rejoice in all of those things, but the key is that we keep our priorities straight, and by nature, we don't keep our priorities straight. By nature, we become very entranced with all of those things of the world, and we forget about the one who gives us all good things. And we lose sight of the fact that we are a sinful people, and that if we were left to our own devices, we would die and we would be damned because of our sin.
Well, what do you think? Would it be a good idea? You know, it's very popular among American evangelicals to decry things like, you know, Santa Claus and stuff like that. They say, now that's not an emphasis we want for our children or ourselves. You think maybe if they gave Advent a try in advance of Christmas, they might find something there as an alternative to good old Santa?
Well, I would hope that any sincere and serious Christian could readily see the benefits of Advent, simply because the themes and the emphases and the purposes of Advent are really those of Holy Scripture and the preaching of repentance and pointing us to Christ Jesus and guiding us by the Word of God. I'm not sure that I would necessarily say that it's an alternative to Santa Claus. I think, you know, Santa Claus is fine in his own place, and it's a matter of keeping priorities. But within the church and within our Christian life, there's something very beneficial and salutary about the Advent season. And if we just skip over it, if we jump too quickly to Christmas and all the festivity, we've lost something and we've missed out on something that really would be a real contribution to our Christian faith and life. And so I would hope that any Christian, like I say, would see the benefits in that. Whether they want to call it Advent or not, I guess in the end, is really irrelevant. But to give attention to God's preaching of repentance and to that word of the law and the gospel that call us to repentance and to faith, that is something that we can't do without. And Advent provides us with an ideal opportunity to focus on that word and to hear that word and to be prepared by God through that word for the coming of Christ. That's not unique to the month of December, but the month of December, as the season of Advent, provides us with a very special and very appropriate opportunity to really focus on those things and meditate on those things.
We're talking about the season of Advent with Pastor Richard Stuckwish. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. You know, the season of Advent, again, has that purpose to focus us on Christ and what Scripture delivers to us about Christ. And I know that my guest is not really happy with the notion of an alternative to Santa Claus, but think about it, folks. You know, it's either we let our church be co-opted by the marketing scheme to get everyone out shopping and say Christmas has already begun, or we listen to what God's Word has to say to us about Jesus Christ, the one about whom the season is really, about whom the season is really talking about anyway. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism, and I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how, in his word and sacraments, Jesus really comes into my life. A lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has the theological substance and the depth that sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.
The Advent hymn, Prepare the Royal Highway, as sung by the St. Paul Lutheran Children's Choir in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about Advent. Prepare the Royal Highway. That imagery is solidly and completely biblical. You know, I don't think that there is a composer out there today that could draw on better material for the Christian to be singing in advance of Christmas, but also with the emphasis on Christ's second coming that Advent so clearly delivers, than this kind of imagery. Prepare the Royal Highway. It's exactly the imagery, exactly the scriptural words that God used to prepare his people for Christ's first coming. We're talking about the season of Advent. Pastor Richard Stuckwish is my guest. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. If you've got a question or a comment about the season of Advent or the observation of the church year, it starts this week. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Stuckwish, there is some paraphernalia, if you will, around the season of Advent. All the seasons have something of their own, but Advent has a wreath. It's almost a universal season of Advent. What's it about?
Well, the Advent wreath, which has become popular in many churches and I think in many homes, really began as not as a church custom so much as a Christian custom in homes and within families, and it can certainly also serve a good purpose within the church as well. It's a way of marking the weeks of Advent, which after many centuries of development finally arrived at 4 weeks, and so an Advent wreath has 4 candles. And as each week of Advent comes, as we get 1 week closer to Christmas, one more candle is lit. And then many Advent wreaths will have another candle in the middle, which is lit at Christmas time, when Christmas finally comes. And so the wreath basically is a way of marking the passage of time as we wait in hope and in patience for the coming of our Lord. And as each week passes, another candle is lit.
So it's a clock, really?
Yeah, basically, that's right.
Now, I've noticed that some Advent wreaths have different colored candles, and I noticed that in church this morning, the color on the altar, the color on the pastor's necks was blue. When I was growing up, it was purple. What are the colors about?
Well, the colors that mark the different seasons are one of the helpful ways that that many Christians have focused on different aspects of our Lord's life. And historically, the color associated with Advent was kind of a bluish purple or a violet. And in many ways, that became purple to lots of people for various reasons. In the last several decades, blue has come into prominence, so we kind of cover the gamut now. In some parts of the world, blue is the historic color for Advent. For Lutherans, purple was the color up until probably 20 or 30 years ago, and since that time, a lot of churches have switched to blue. And I've heard lots of different explanations for the colors. Some of them have more credibility than others. Purple is the color of royalty, and one of the emphases of Advent is that Christ, who is coming, is our King. And in fact, the word Christ really includes that connotation, that he is our King. And the first Sunday in Advent, historically, was actually the entry of our Lord Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as we normally call it. And he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, so very humble and very meek, and yet this is his entrance as the King who comes to reign from his cross. Purple really picked up on that connotation of our Lord's royalty, but also being a penitential color, much as we use purple during Lent, it brought to bear that aspect of Advent as a penitential season. That it's a time of being called to repentance and to consider our sins as part of our preparation for the one who comes to save us from our sins. Now, blue has different connotations. One of those connotations is associations with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, I know that probably raises lots of prickles on the backs of necks, but the fact is that along with St. John the Baptizer, what more appropriate person could we consider during Advent as we wait for Christmas, if nothing else, than St. Mary, who certainly in those final weeks of her pregnancy before giving birth to the Savior was waiting and expecting and hoping, much as we as Christians wait and hope and expect our Lord to come and save us and take us to be with him in heaven. And we must admit from Holy Scripture that God, in his wisdom and by his grace, chose St. Mary as the one through whom he gave his son to the world. So if one wants to think of blue as a color associated with St. Mary, then I think for that very reason it certainly is appropriate to Advent. But that's not the only connotation that blue has. Some of the other suggestions that have been made are probably a little bit far-fetched or maybe just an example of creative piety, but I like to think of blue as reminding me of my baptism, the waters of my baptism, and baptism is one of the themes and emphases of Advent. St. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance, and it was through my own baptism that the Lord Jesus first came to me and called me to be his own and made me his child and gave me his spirit. So Advent is a very appropriate time to remember baptism. There's other ways in which to think about these colors, but those are the main themes behind them.
Let's take a few calls as our minutes wind down. Joe's calling from Chicago, listening on WYLL. Hi, Joe.
Yes, sir. I'm calling, and I enjoy your show. Thank you. My wife and I are kind of new Christians, and we find this very fascinating. I was wondering if you could recommend a book or some resources so we could learn more about this culture.
All right, let's see what our guest has to say. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, that's a very good question. there are any number of resources out there that one could look at.
Why don't you just give us what you think is the best, Pastor Stuckman?
Well, I'm trying to think out loud as I talk, Todd. Most of the books, I'm afraid, are written at kind of a scholarly level, which would probably not be the most helpful thing for the typical Christian layperson.
Well, I've got a suggestion here.
Oh, if you know of something, by all means, go ahead.
Well, it's not a book, but we have numerous resources on the season of Advent and the church here on our website, and I would direct Joe first to that. It's issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. There's a section titled there, Links with Regular Guests. If you click on that, you'll find a link to a guy named Paul Grimm and the Commission on Worship, and they have, well, I'll tell you what, if you've got a question on the church year, season of Advent, worship practices, they've got the answers. Let's see, real quickly, with only about a minute before we have to go, Susan's calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. WGNV is her station. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. Quick question for myself, who loves Advent, and why am I forced by my very own Christian churches and universities to attend Christmas concerts in Advent? Can't they wait till Christmas and the whole month of January?
All right, it's a good question, Susan. Pastor Stuckwish, you've got about 30 seconds to respond.
Well, I wish they could wait. I wish they would wait. We lose something so very precious if we just skip over Advent and get too quickly to Christmas. It's always appropriate to celebrate the fact that our Lord was born in the flesh and he came to suffer and die for us. But the season of Advent preaches to us the word of repentance and prepares us to receive that Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I would just encourage you to make the most of Advent that you possibly can and try not to to let those who rush too quickly to Christmas distract you from those blessings and opportunities.
Pastor Stuckwish, thank you very much for your time.
It's always my pleasure, Todd.
Pastor Richard Stuckwish, pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. We've been talking about the season of Advent. You know, we cannot bind consciences or make hard and fast rules about this kind of stuff, and we need not do that. Advent is a gift, and it's good, and it draws us toward a deeper knowledge of Christ from his holy word. It draws us into the word of Christ. Whether it's celebrated in a simple way or more fulsome way, whether we know the colors, the important thing is that it is to point us to Christ. The important thing is that it reminds us that Christ came for us in the flesh, and in the flesh took our sins, and in the flesh rose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, and with his ascension he promised his disciples, I will come again. But let us never forget that Christ has not left us orphans. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is delivered through Christ's very presence among us, his word and his sacraments. These are ours until he comes again. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Issues Etc., Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.issuesetc.org. That's issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.